Hope everybody's doing well today. Awesome. Am I loud? Feels like I'm pretty loud, right? Hey, Randy, can we turn it down just a little bit? That way if I get excited and I start yelling, I'm not blasting everybody out of here. Okay, good. Praise God. It says make a joyful noise, so. Just want to open up with prayers. Anybody who has any prayer requests before we get started? Yes, Eddie.
My neighbor has had multiple surgeries. She has a cancer behind one of her glands, and they're going to have to remove the gland and everything.
Okay.
So just praying for that situation to kind of dissolve. Yeah. And that her family is supported, because her husband's got health issues, and his health started to improve as her started to decline. So they're kind of in a place.
A little bit of a battle, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Amen. I feel like I'm still pretty loud, Randy. Am I good? Yeah, I think I'm good. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, there is quite a bit of conversation, so I appreciate that, Randy. Eddie, you had a prayer request?
Yeah, my brother was flown back to youth again.
Okay. Absolutely. We'll be praying for him. He's already a miracle, by the way. And I believe, you know, God, we've seen God move before. We'll see him move again. So I have no doubt about that. Anybody else?
Thank you for your prayers for Debbie last week. She's doing much better.
Praise God.
Spaghetti right now.
Awesome. Well, praise God. Lord, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just ask, Father, that every person who has been asked for healing, God, that you would heal their bodies. Lord, the couple who was being requested prayer for, God, the husband and the wife that are both on the mend, we pray, God, that they would be totally healed today. Lord, that we would hear testimony about how they were healed and touched, and there was just a supernatural occurrence that we could tie to this time and a point in faith, Lord. And God, we ask for Eddie's brother who has been flown back to Duke. We just ask, God, that you would give him peace and comfort as he's going through this trial. It's been in and out. But, Lord, we've seen you do a miracle before in his life. And we just have faith, Lord, that you'll do it again. I ask for comfort and peace. And Eddie, Lord, just settle his heart and let him know that you have it taken care of, no matter what it looks like, that you are in control, God. And, Lord, we just ask that you would lead and guide us into all truth today. That you would give us the spirit of revelation, of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And God, that you would cause us to grow in our purpose, Lord, and that you would begin to allow us to be fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, let us take the words that we hear today, and if they are from you, let us plant them deep in our hearts, God, as a seed that you will water and cause it to grow in faith, Lord. And God, we just love you. We exalt you above all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I ended in Hebrews 10, and the last thing that I was talking about is, you know, the scripture says basically for us to make it a joy for those who are teachers over us. We need to not just be seeking knowledge and wisdom in the scripture, but through God's people. God has put leaders in our life. He's put godly counsel and wisdom. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. And no one goes to war without guidance from counselors, you know. So we need each other, and we need the guidance and the wisdom that God has given to other people that can then pour into us. But we need to make it a joy for those people who are trying to lead us and guide us and teach us, and not make it difficult for them to do that, you know. And again, I just wanted to reiterate that there's no greater joy than when you pour your life into somebody and you try to give them wisdom and teach them and lead them and guide them into the ways of God and give them godly counsel. There's no greater joy for that person than to see you succeed in the things of God, to see you take that counsel and that wisdom and actually apply it and not just let it go in one ear and come out the other, because that's discouraging. But it's very encouraging when you see somebody who really grabs a hold of it and takes it and they make something of it. Proverbs 14:6 is the first scripture that we're looking at out of the Amplified Classic. 14:6. Proverbs 14:6. It's amazing that you can draw stuff from your Bible study or wisdom. You know, you can get it from all kinds of places. I was watching this holistic doctor online, and this wasn't originally part of this Bible study. And she quoted something. She said, Proverbs 14:6. And I was like, I like that, so I'm going to check that verse out. And I decided to look at it in the what she quoted was a little different than what is in the Amplified Classic here. But I think once you hear the way it's read in the Amplified Classic, you'll know why I knew that it was from God, like God was speaking to me through this woman to share this today. It says, "A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, for his very attitude blinds and deafens him to it, but knowledge is easy to him who, being teachable, understands." Knowledge is easy to him who, being teachable, understands. I was just like, thank you, Lord. I mean, you can't tell me that's not God ordained. You know, that's the title of the message, remaining teachable. And boom, there it is. And it's come up so many times throughout the scripture. I just believe it's very important to the Lord. But knowledge is easy to him who, being teachable, understands. So we see here that our attitude can determine whether we receive wisdom or not. So even if we actively search for wisdom, if we don't have a teachable heart, we can't receive any. But once we get to a place where we have a humble attitude and realize that we don't know everything, there is still things for us to learn. Even as we talked about, you know, the John 3:16, it's a verse that you hear all the time, and you can kind of become numb to it. Like, yeah, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But really, there's more depths to that. You know, again, God's grace is manifold. His wisdom is manifold, many-sided. There's many aspects of it. And so if you close your heart off to this aspect of it, yeah, I've heard that 100 times. I know what it means that God so loved the world. Then you close yourself off to being able to learn anything. God's like, but I got more for you than that. You know, I mean, he really does. So in order to gain understanding about the kingdom principles, we need to seek to understand their purpose. Not just trying to gain knowledge, but the purpose of having the knowledge. So we need to ask the question, why? It's great to know about certain biblical topics, but we must begin to ask why and seek their purpose so that our understanding may grow. And once you have understanding, the gaining of more knowledge becomes easy. It's easy to learn about something if you know the purpose. For example, when Jesus was asked what was the two greatest commandments, he said, the whole law is summed up in these two commands, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that the other is like it, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. So once you understand the purpose behind him quoting these two, why did he quote those two scriptures? Out of all the laws that he could have listed, why did he choose these two right here? For me, it's like this. If I understand that if I love my neighbor, I won't steal from him, you know? If I understand that if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to murder him. I'm not going to beat him up. I'm not going to defame his name. I'm not going to do all these things against him because I wouldn't do that to myself. I love him as I love myself. And so once I understand that, then it helps me understand the purpose that God gave those that Jesus gave those two commands as the greatest commands, and then once I know the purpose behind it, it helps me to be able to gain even more knowledge and understanding about it. It's like it just opens up the floodgate, in other words, to it. It's a snowball effect. So if I understand the purpose of why God gives it, then I can see, you know, sort of where he's going with this whole bigger picture of it. Proverbs 13:14. Next scripture, and we're going to read Proverbs 13, 14 through 16, and then 18 and 20. It says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death. Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is their own disaster. Every prudent person acts with knowledge, but a fool displays foolishness. Poverty and shame will come to one who neglects discipline, but one who complies with rebuke will be honored. One who walks with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." Have you ever heard the saying, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas? Yeah. Well, it's true. How about 1 Corinthians 15:33 that says bad company corrupts good morals? So they mean the same thing, right? Whether you're a strong believer, mature in the faith, or whatever the case may be, no one is exempt from this law of God. It's like the law of reaping and sowing. Nobody is exempt from hanging around bad company and it corrupting your good morals, no matter how strong you are in the faith. I always try to tell people, I know people who were addicts and things like I were before, and some people get zealous when they get born again and they want to go back to the drug house or wherever the people are at, and they want to preach to them, you know, salvation and try to bring them out of that place. That's good. I applaud the enthusiasm and the zealousness to do the work of the Lord. However, nobody is exempt from this bad company corrupting good morals. So here's what I try to tell guys who may work with me or that I encounter who want to do those type of things, friends that I have. If you see these people out in public, they say, "Hey, man, how's it going?" You know, start up a conversation. You say, "Everything's going good since I gave my life to Jesus," you know, and just spark up a conversation with them then, and then tell them, you know, point them in the right direction, and then boom, go your way. But don't go actively to where they're at, you know, practicing the things that they're practicing that you were once a part of, because they could suck you back down. But if God brings them across your path and he opens that door, then I believe there's an anointing there that will keep you from falling into that temptation. But if you're not in the anointing and you're not walking in his will and you try to go do it as a lone ranger, then you're in trouble. So again, this Proverbs 13:20, was it 13? Let's see. 13:20, it said, "One who walks with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." Denzel Washington has a quote that says this: "If you hang around five confident people, you will be the sixth. If you hang around five intelligent people, you will be the sixth. If you hang around five millionaires, you will be the sixth. If you hang around with five idiots, you will be the sixth." I thought that was pretty fitting. Hey, it's not my words, by the way. I'm just the messenger here. But it's true, and I know what you're thinking. You got to find five millionaire friends to go hang out with, so you'll be the sixth, right? That's not the point. The point is to hang around people who are godly, hang around people who are humble, hang around people who are teachable and always learning, not people who are haughty and prideful. I've been around people like that, and I hung around them and I kind of modeled them for a while, who they were just rebellious to authority, to leadership in their life. They were not a disciple themselves, but trying to disciple other people. And they just had a haughty spirit about them. You know, everybody was going to hell because nobody lived as righteous as they lived and all these things. And I can tell you that's not the way. It took me a while because that did rub off on me. And it kind of shaped and molded me in the way that I behaved for a while. And I can tell you from experience and living that way that that is not the way God intended for it to be. He wants us to be around people who are humble and teachable, always wanting to learn and to come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his character and the love that he has for other people and how you can be his hands and feet. So hang around people who are trying to make a change in the community. People who are trying to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Hang around people who inspire you to do better and be a better version of yourself. And hang around people, have friends that will tell you when you're in the wrong. You know, we need people to keep us in check. If all you have is a bunch of yes men around you, then you're never going to grow. If people just back you up and tell you what you need, what you want to hear, but never what you need to hear, you're never going to grow from the place that you're at. Yes, Lynn.
I was going to say there's safety in the body of Christ because what might suck me dry, you can divert to the people who are good at what they do with that.
Yeah, amen.
You know, you can just say, well, I know someone, and if they don't want it, they don't want it. But mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. If you, again, back to being the Lone Ranger, you know, trying to do everything on your own, God didn't call us to walk this alone. If you look over in Ephesians, it talks about why he gave the, what we call the fivefold ministry, but it's really for the pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. He gave all these things for the equipping of the saints so that we may come together in unity and that we may feed one another. You know, that not that it's just one person on Sunday getting behind the pulpit and they do all the feeding and leading and teaching. Imagine if the pastor was the sole one responsible for 120 people in a congregation and nobody else was helping to feed or fuel the fire or take care of any of the needs. They'd be wore out, you know, they would be beat down and then they wouldn't be of any service to us because they would be, as you said, so drained. So it is a body effort for sure that we come together and help each other, pick each other up when we fall. I watched a brother yesterday who was teaching a message and I thought this was awesome. He was like, you know, it's not the fall that hurts you. He said, if I was to fall right now, it wouldn't be the fall that hurt me. It would be me hitting the ground, right? Pretty obvious. But he had two brothers standing behind him, and so he just started to fall. Brother over here catches him. He starts preaching and teaching again, and then he just randomly falls on the other guy. One time he did it, and they didn't really expect it, and he was this close to the ground. I mean, 2 inches. And he said, that even scared me, you know, but he said, but I didn't get hurt. So they called him, you know. And so that's why there's safety in a multitude of counselors, because you can fall on somebody else. And when we trip up and when we fall and when we stumble or when we have hard times and we're going to, there's somebody else there to catch us and lift us back up to the place where we need to be. It makes me think about something else that somebody said, you know, the only time we should be looking down on somebody is when we're trying to pick them back up. You know what I'm saying? That's the way God intended it to be, to help one another, to build up the body of Christ. We are his temple. And if we see somebody suffering and we just shame them, what are we doing to the body of Christ then? We're shaming and neglecting the body of Christ, and we could be picking his body up and lifting it back up to the place where he intended it to be. Yes. Amen.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
So if you're scared, that boldness is being blocked because of your flesh and not because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yep. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear because perfect love, and he is perfect love, casts out all fear. I love how this next verse in Proverbs 12:1, the NLT puts this. It goes along with what Denzel Washington was saying about, you know, if you hang out with five idiots, you'll be the sixth. Anyways, again, I'm just a messenger here, but this is the word of God. But I do love it. It says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. I mean, it's straightforward. I just love that. It's stupid to hate correction, you know? I know that I've been that way sometimes, and I've known other people who would not receive correction about anything, and they would never get past this point where they were struggling at. But I've been there, so, you know, I'm not judging or anything. But I really wanted to talk about this loving discipline, if you want to learn, because we're talking about remaining teachable, trying to gain wisdom. That is the main goal of remaining teachable, is gaining wisdom. And in order to learn, you must love discipline. So when I think about discipline, or when I used to think about discipline, the first thing that came to my mind was growing up, getting a whipping, you know? That's just the first thing that comes to my mind. But discipline is really not some sort of punishment. It's training for righteousness. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So, my example here is that I used to be way more into fitness than I am right now. I used to go to the gym 2 to 3 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. I ate a very strict and bland diet. I didn't put seasoning on anything. I just ate like rice and chicken, plain, pre-made it for a whole week. I mean, just really boring. I'm telling you, super boring. Super difficult to work out that hard. And then, get, you know, after I would work out and lift weights that much, then I would get on the treadmill and run for 30 minutes or an hour after that. I'm talking about every day I did this. And work long hours too, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. I didn't have a family at this time, you know. Didn't have the kids, didn't have the business, didn't have the wife. So had a lot more time on my hands. And idle time, I believe this, idle time is the devil's playground. And so I tried to keep busy. And that was just the way that I did it. This was the way that I learned discipline, was discipline myself to go to the gym and to eat very strict, you know. And it was painful, you know, to go through that. You'd be sore all the time, you know, work when you're lifting heavy weights, you're getting sore as you're doing it. but the end results were fantastic, you know. You feel great, your health is great, doctor bills are low. You know what I'm saying? The discipline is painful, but you learn to love the pain. Because actually, the more pain that I had after a workout, the more I knew that I was successful in my training. And in my discipline to myself, I was more successful. So I learned to love the pain. And there's a gym saying that says, no pain, no gain. And it's true. I believe it's also true in our spiritual walk, too. But so, see, Proverbs 12 is saying that it is stupid to hate, or I'll say that it's not wise to hate the discipline that really is a catalyst for our growth. Because that pain, it kind of fueled my next workout, because I had the pain and I said, man, that, you know, I knew I did something there, that I had some growth. There's growth coming through this pain that I just went through. And now that's actually fueling the fire to go back at it and get back at it and do it again. And it's the same thing with our walk with God. And by the way, I'm not advocating that everybody needs to work out like I did or anything like that. So don't want anybody to hear that. I don't even work out like that anymore. Looking back, it was crazy. It just really... Do what?
You're a dad.
I'm a dad. And a business owner, and I'm a very, very busy man. And I'm lucky if I get to work out 15 minutes a day now, and I just feel like, I'm like, man, come on, you can do better than this. But anyways, David had to encourage his soul, you know, while I was so downcast, my soul, I got to kick myself in the butt. But Paul said that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So even though I don't think you should work out like I used to, eat a very bland diet and all that, I do think that we should stay active. We should do some type of walking or exercise. We should try to eat at least moderately healthy. And but that's not the most important thing that we can do. It is a good thing to do with our physical bodies. But what's really important is godly discipline, which is training for righteousness. And we know already that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In our spirit, man, which is perfect, but our soul still needs correction. We still need to remain teachable and accept discipline so that we can look more like and act more like Christ's righteousness. Because even though we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we don't always act like the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So even though, you know, we all have a different experience in life and we all have a unique walk, these principles found in God's Word, they remain the same. So you have to take, you know, these principles that we're talking about with self-discipline, you have to take them and apply them to your life and see what they look like. Because it's not going to look like it does for my life. It's going to look different for each individual because God created us individually and unique. And wouldn't it be awkward and strange if we were all the same, you know, just little Christian robots doing exactly what the other one does. No, God, He created us to be unique and different. Proverbs 9, 8 through 12 in the NLT. And I just want to mention real quick that it was hard. So I told y'all that I read Proverbs at least three or four times last year and through several different translations. And these are just things that were that I had highlighted and that God was teaching me, and that even as I've been studying and, you know, creating this Bible study, I'm still remembering what I'm talking to y'all about when I'm on the job site and things happen, you know, and then I'm not acting like what I'm preaching about. And so God is teaching me in this. And so I'm just hoping that what He has showed me, I've taken these notes by spending time with Him, and that He shows you something that helps you to be fruitful, you know, and to grow in wisdom and Christ-likeness and to be more fruitful. But Proverbs is full of this. So I just encourage you to really go look at it and look at it through this lens of, you know, I've got to remain teachable. God has more for me than just what I see on the surface. Proverbs 9, 8 through 12 says, "So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you, but correct the wise and they will love you." That sounds a little like what Jesus said when He said, "Don't cast your pearls amongst swine, because they will trample the pearls and then turn and trample you too." In other words, the treasure, the wisdom that you have is only useful to a person who is teachable. One who is wise enough to appreciate what you have to offer, because the mockers or the swine in that passage that Jesus was talking about just take what you have to offer and they reject it and neglect it, and then they disrespect you for offering it. People get mad. Some people get mad when you try to offer them advice. And so just be ready, you know, for that can come. Even if you are coming in a spirit of love, you know, you can be doing all the things right, and some people just, they won't accept you, you know. But you can learn, you know, that's why for us we have something that is valuable to share. If we have something that's valuable to share, we have to discern, is this person able to receive this or not? And sometimes you may not know until you have offered the advice and see how they react to it. But you can learn from this experience, and most of the time, it truly is pretty easy to discern, is this person able to receive the information that I'm about to give them? Otherwise, you could just, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. You can be pouring out into somebody, and the words that you speak could just be falling on deaf ears, and you will wear yourself out. If you're putting God's treasure somewhere where He's not leading you to put it into, if you're spending your time and your talents and soil that is not fertile. But you can, if you've been led by the Holy Spirit, if you've practiced this enough, this discernment, God will give you supernatural discernment, and you'll be able to say, okay, God literally had this person come across my path and brought this subject up so that I could pour into them and give them my life's wisdom and experience with God to help grow this person. And most of the time, the way that I know is if somebody comes to me and asks something. So I generally, unless the Lord just really leading me, I don't just go and just offer up this advice to people or whatever. I want to make sure that it's people that I'm walking with on a daily basis, you know, that I know personally, or they come to me and they say, hey, Eric, what do you think about this? Or I have this issue in my life or whatever. What would you do about this? You know, then you offer the advice. Verse 9, let's see, Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. So this fear of the Lord is about respecting him like a child should a good father. And when you respect your father, you'll do whatever they ask. You'll do whatever they ask of you because you want to please them and earn their respect. But it's not like we have to earn God's respect or we have to earn his favor. But if we're truly born again and we're saved and we have this respect for God, then we want to please him and make him happy. Even though he already is pleased in who we are, we want to please him in our behavior also. So that's what this fear of the Lord is, that it's the foundation of wisdom. And it says, the second part of that verse says, knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So when we learn the ways of God by reading his word and through life's experiences, we learn his character. We learn his character and we're able to make good judgment calls or have good discernment because things come up in life that there is no direct answer for in the Bible. But we can assess the situation and sort of look at it through the lenses of God's character, and we can determine what our next step should be because we can see, okay, what's the character of God? What would he have me do in this situation? And I can discern that because I know the pattern of God, how he has handled things like this before. Even though I don't see something exactly like this in the Bible, I see his character on display. And when I know his character and understand his character, I can then walk in his character, even though I don't have a scripture and a verse to go relate back to why I'm doing what I'm doing. Verse 11 says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. This is where it starts to get juicy to me. Starts to get real juicy right here. I'm going to read that one again so you can, we'll try to sear this one in our minds right here. Wisdom will multiply your days. You had a certain amount of days. You got wisdom. Those days have been multiplied. Amanda, what happens when you multiply something? You get a bigger number. You get more of what you had previously. I just had to call on one of my teachers to help me out here because I knew she could help answer the question. But yes, it's simple. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. So I thought that was really cool because there's a lot of people who believe that you have a certain amount of days allotted to you in this life and that's it. That's like normally what we hear, right? Like, it doesn't really matter how you live, you still have a certain amount of days and nothing can take away from or add to that. And some people say, this is kind of conversely or on the other hand, some people say that all you can change is the quality of the days that you live here on earth by how you diet and exercise and take care of yourself, your mental health, you know, keep it stress low and all those things. And honestly, to me, for a long time, that made the most sense is that not that you could add days to your life and years to your life, but that you could add to the quality of the life that you had, and you could add to your usefulness because you lived a better quality of life. But, or however, And I think that's important, by the way, so that we can, the reason it's important to exercise, eat healthy, try to keep mental health, on point, stress levels low and all those things, so that we can live a longer, more fruitful and productive life. Because when we're healthier and we live longer, as we age, we then don't become a burden on the people around us because our mind is still in good working order. And in fact, we could, you know, assist them with grandkids or, you're still able to go to the soup kitchens and serve in the soup kitchens. You may still be able to go to Africa, you know, and be a missionary over there. Whatever God is leading you can do, there is certain that you can do more of those things if you're healthier physically and mentally. There's no doubt in my mind. However, I don't want you to think that if you're not healthy, that you're of no use to God whatsoever or at all, because the truth is that God can still use you. If there's still breath in your body, God has a purpose for you, and he can still use you very much so if you will allow him to do so. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, then crawl, but you must keep moving. That's encouraging to me. Because sometimes, like even today, I was tired, man. I didn't get good sleep all week. I've been stressed. I just had a lot going on with my job. My dog, I ran over. I mean, yeah, she's at the vet right now, and they basically, you know, said she was so bad off that she's going to need physical therapy twice a day and a lot of rehabilitation and all this stuff. And we had the option, you know, to do all these things or to put her down. And I couldn't put her down. So it's going to cost me $4,600 to take care of her, but that's what we're going to do. And so anyways, didn't mean to get off on that, but I'm telling you, anytime I do these Bible studies, I get attacked in so many ways. I get attacked so many ways. And but I'm encouraged because even if I'm not on my best A game, right, I know that the Spirit of God is stronger. His strength is made perfect in our weakness, right? So when we come and we're weak and we just expose our weakness to him, God, I know that I'm weak. I know that I need you. I know that I can't make it on my own. I cannot do this without you. Then he says, that's all I've been waiting for right there. I've just been waiting on that door to open so that I could come in and that I could take care of these things.
I think O.A. Fish had a great testimony in his book, Fingerprints of God.
Mm-hmm.
Down there like cutting down trees and stuff. Finally he just gets to a place, he sits down on a tree trunk, puts down the saw, and he just says, God, I quit.
Yeah.
And just at that moment, that's when God says, good, now we can start to get something done.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you, Ed. That was perfect. But see, you can always do something to be of service as long as you have breath in your body. You know, if you can't physically serve, you can support financially. If you can't support financially, you can pray. You can write letters of encouragement. There's always something that you can do to be useful in the kingdom of God. But I do believe, let's see, I got 2 minutes. I am going to try to wrap this up real quick. I do believe that we can absolutely improve the years of our lives and potentially have a greater impact by taking care of our bodies and minds by making wise decisions. According to Proverbs 9:11, this is the last, not the last scripture, but Proverbs 3:1-2 is the last scripture, and then Ephesians 6:1-3. So anyways, a few more scriptures. Try to get to them real quick. It says, wisdom actually adds days to our lives and that our years would be multiplied. And this obviously is wisdom from God. In Proverbs 3:1-2, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. And Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." If you read through these Proverbs like I did, you'll see so many promises of God that if we remain teachable, we remain humble, and we come with an eager, hungry heart to Him and seek godly counsel through people, He's going to bless us with so many ways. It says He's going to bless us with riches, with wisdom. He's going to bless us with goodness and mercy and bless us with length of our days. He's going to add to our days and multiply the years of our lives. That is so important to me. That is awesome. You can actually add to your lifespan and be here with your family and your friends longer to help take care of them and lead them and get more people to draw them into the kingdom of God if you will lean on these promises that are in His word right here. It's all here for us, and everything that He made available to the Jews back then is now available to us through Jesus Christ when He tore the veil from the top to the bottom, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," He made a way to reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles alike, and now we are all heirs together. Every promise that was made to the Jews is also a promise for us.
Yeah. He's getting it in there at the last.
I'm getting it in. Yes. So what does this all boil down to? Last minute. We should strive to have a heart that is postured towards being humble and learning all we can so that we can be the best version of ourselves that we can be, that we can learn all we can about being the best father, the best husband, the best wife, the best leader, teacher, the best version of ourselves so that we can enrich the lives of those around us and make godly decisions that are fueled by His wisdom that will cause us to grow in kingdom principles and to grow in love and to show love and to be His hands and feet on this earth more effectively while we're here. If we will seek out godly wisdom, He promises that all these other things will be a byproduct of them. So again, we just thank You, Lord, for this Bible study, God. We thank You, Lord, for the word of remaining teachable, God. We thank You, Lord, that You gave us the example of washing the disciples' feet. You humbled Yourself, King of kings and King of the universe. Lord, You humbled Yourself and got down on Your knees and even washed Judas's feet when You knew he was about to betray You. So, God, we ask that You also give us this humble spirit and this posture in our heart to where we are making ourselves low so that You will exalt us, God, and that You will give us wisdom, God, how to lead and guide and direct effectively and to be more fruitful in Your kingdom, God, and to walk out the kingdom principles that we learn about in Your word and through life's experiences and by knowing Your character, God. Please make us more effective for You. And God, give us more of Your love and Your mercy. Let us live in the overflow and in abundance of Your goodness, God. We pray for the anointing on the service. God, we pray for people to be saved. We pray for people to be filled with Your Holy Spirit and with the knowledge of Your goodness and Your wisdom. And we pray that people will have a manifested touch from You today, and that they will leave different than the way they came in here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.